wanted to talk to you tonight out of the book of Ephesians. We might turn to a couple of other passages of Scripture tonight. So just have your Bibles ready because I desire for you to follow along with me. But if you choose to look at any Scripture tonight, I implore you to read with me from Ephesians chapter 3. I believe this is one of the most significant messages of our day. I say that, and I really believe that. I believe that the Lord showed me something out of His Word. It really excited me, and it inspired me. It built my faith in regards to expectation. I have seen the Lord do many wonderful things. I have seen the Lord work in such miraculous power. I have seen the Lord answer prayer. Even just this past Sunday, we had a precious friend in our church who testified to her infant grandchild who is still yet to be born that there was a problem with the baby's brain and that this was going to be a great complication for them. And when the baby was born and the baby was very large, the doctor confessed himself, "I don't know who is praying for you, but I'm going to tell you, they're powerful." Well, we're not powerful. God is. But God healed that baby. God healed that baby's brain. And that's just one testimony among so many. I'm glad that I live with a living God. I'm glad that I live with a God that is present and that is able. The thing that the Lord has really strived to make us aware of is that we are not to live an independent life from God, but we are to live in Him, through Him, and by Him. And His Holy Spirit is most precious to our life. And I want to encourage you tonight that you really have to develop a desperation for the Holy Spirit. He is a friend to your life, but you can offend Him. You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. I'm not saying that in the sense that He will leave you and depart from you and cause you to be on your own. But He can withdraw from us because of a grief or because of a stubbornness that we want to do something the way that we want to do it. The Holy Spirit comes to us and He gives us authority and He gives us power. The Holy Spirit comes to us so that by Him we might be made witnesses of Jesus Christ in this world. And the world must be desperate for Jesus. Even after what we have faced in our world, it seems that religious people, and I'm saying that all across the board, it seems that religious people are still not awake. They're still not pondering what is really going on here, what is really happening in our world. And I don't know what it will take for people to really wake up. But I thank God that you're awake. And so I want to say this to you in a word of encouragement. But Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Wow, what an invitation. Is it real? Is it true? Jesus said, whatever you ask, if you believe, it shall be done unto you. Is it true? Do we believe that? How many times have we prayed that only to find that a lot of those prayers were never answered? But then we'll see prayers like this precious friend said where her baby was healed. And the doctor testified of the healing that was in her baby. We see these things. But we want to see the power of God. We want to see the power of God demonstrated on a regular basis in our life. And I believe the reason we want to see that is because God wants to see that. I believe the Spirit of God in us is telling us there is so much more that He wants to do. And so God has granted us this incredible access to Him. He has called us His friends. He has made us His sons and daughters. And Jesus has given us His very own name. And the Bible says we can come into the presence of God to the throne of His grace. Praise God. where we can come with boldness, not fearing that we're going to be rejected, but we can come and we can be with God and we can talk to God. But where's the power? Where's the power? We as Christians talk a lot about being born again. You have to be born again. What do we mean by that? What does that mean to you? And then we talk as Christians that we have died to our old self. What does that mean? And what does that mean to you? And there are scriptures in the Bible that says, put on Christ. What does that mean? How do you put on Jesus? Put on the robe of righteousness. How do you do that? Where is it? I'd put it on. The Bible talks about your inner man. How many of you are aware of it? As a matter of fact, as a Christian, and I know I've said this to you so many times, but as a Christian, we actually believe that there are three people in you. We believe that the Spirit of the Lord now lives in you. The Bible says you have a new man that is created in Christ Jesus of an incorruptible seed of the Holy Spirit. So now you have a new man in you and you have your old man. You have three people living in you. You're to follow the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit communicates with you in that new man. You're to reckon your old man dead. And if you're to reckon your old man dead, then certainly God reckons it dead. And if God reckons it dead, then He's not going to communicate with that. Why would God communicate with something that's dead? He's the God of the living. So why would God talk to our brains? Why would God want us to look with these eyes to see the things of God? So He gives us His Holy Spirit. So that by His Holy Spirit we can know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. And so if you're going to know God, you're going to know the things of God, you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Man, I say that. And Christians all over the place say, amen, I believe that. But how many have a vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit? And God gets so accused. God gets so harassed by His children. And it's not even His fault. So what I want to talk to you about right now, tonight, is something that is there in Ephesians chapter 3, and I think it is extremely profound. And I want to talk to you tonight about the capacity to know Jesus. The capacity to know Him. And I will take it from the standpoint that you guys here tonight do know Jesus. And I will include myself with you. I'm not speaking down to you tonight. And so I would say tonight that you know Jesus, but we need a greater capacity of knowing Him. Now in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read, but before we do, I want to give you this definition of capacity. And this is what the word means. The amount that something can produce. Depending on your capacity, you can only produce so much. If you have a greater capacity, you can produce more. Capacity also means the ability or the power to do something. Andrew has the capacity to lift more weight than his son. But if his son's capacity enlarges and he grows and he trains himself, then this boy here now one day can have a larger capacity of moving more weight than his father. If he does nothing, then he won't be able to. And so you have to have an increased capacity. It also means the ability to experience more. If your capacity enlarges, you can experience more. It also means the ability to understand better. You have a greater capacity to understand things. I'm not talking about intellectually. I don't believe that our brains are too weak. I don't believe that our habits are too weak. I would submit to you tonight that our inner man is too weak. The word capacity also means this, a person's legal competence, a specified role or position. So that's the word capacity. And when I talk about having the capacity to know Jesus, I pray that you will understand what I'm talking about as we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So I'm just going to talk to you for a minute. I want you to really listen for yourself, because I believe this is extremely important. I believe it's important for the kingdom of God. When was the last time you fell speechless at the presence of Jesus Christ? Unable to move. Arrested at the sheer magnitude and greatness of Him. When was the last time that happened to you? I would be willing to say for most of us, we'd probably say it's been a long time. And maybe some of us here tonight would say, it's never happened. That's never happened. And I would say that we need a greater capacity of knowing Jesus. When was the last time you were brought under an overwhelming sense of conviction that you fell before God in such a deep repentance because of His holiness? Because you were made aware of something spiritually, not just logically, because everybody knows that God is holy. But you saw something spiritually that so arrested you, a capacity of knowing Him, that it brought you into such repentance before this holy God. And maybe that's been a while for Christians. And therefore, we need to increase our capacity to know Him. So, Jesus is raised from the dead, and He meets with His disciples. And just before His ascension, He makes this statement. All authority in heaven and in earth is given to me. All authority. That word means all power. All legal power, all physical power, all dominion power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know what that means? It means that the person you confess is sitting beside you tonight. And I'm not talking about the people around you. I'm talking about this person, Jesus Christ, who said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And I am with you to the end of the world. Is sitting there with you right now. Do you have any sense of that power? Now be honest. If there were a jet airplane in here, and we turn the engines on, and the engines, the thrust of it was pushing at all of you, would you be sitting there? No. You could not handle the power of that. But somebody is in you that has more power than that. I mean, it's either real or it's not. I mean, this is just a romantic fairy tale. It's poetry. Or either He who has all power really lives in me. And how are so many Christians so unaware of that power? If there is a hurricane that is threatening our coast, and it is projected to be a category 3 or 4 or 5, people evacuate. Why? Because of the power of its devastation. They don't want to be in its path because people can't survive it. And Jesus is stronger than a hurricane. Where's the sense of that power in your life? Where's the sense of that power in my life? Why is it that most Christians will live and die without ever having any real sense of capacity of knowing that power? Is it possible to be a Christian and not know that power? Absolutely. Is it possible to be a Christian, born again, and literally go to heaven one day when I die and never have a sense while I'm on this earth of the energy and the power of the living Christ who is in my heart? Absolutely, it's possible. Absolutely. So I come back to this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and I want to ask you the question. And I believe this is a very important message. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Who is the him? It's God. It's not the church. It's not us. It's God. It is the Lord. He is the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How does he do that? How can God do more than I ask? Can God do more than I ask? Yes. Can God do more than I think? Yes. Is the ability of God able to do all things through me? Yes. But how does it happen? It happens, listen to this, according to the power that works in us. It is according to the power that is working in you. And if you and I have no sense of that power, if we have a very small capacity of knowing that power, then that power is limited in what it can do through our life. It's not that God can't go beyond our prayers. It's not that God can't do more than we ask or we would think. But the power can't work in us. And so there's a great need for the church. There's a great need for us. And I believe God wants to do this. I honestly do. I believe God wants to do this in our lives. I believe he wants to do it in this generation. I believe God is calling the church to believe this. And I trust tonight and I pray tonight that every one of you will. And so, what is the answer to this? How can this power work in me? Well, if this power that is greater than any force or power in all of the universe is to begin to operate in you like that, and you are not qualified, you are not built up, you are not sound in your inner man to host that power, it will destroy you. So the Lord has to strengthen your inner man. He has to work that inner man out so it becomes stronger. And the stronger the inner man is, the more the power of God can work in us. And the more that power can operate, God can go beyond what we even think. Just through our praise. So it should be the desire of all of the church. Every one of you in here should even begin praying right now. Oh God, strengthen my inner man. I want your power to work in my life. You're going to see grandchildren saved. You're going to see children saved. You're going to see the sick healed. You're going to see the miracles of God if God can work through us. But if we limit that power, not by our faith, not by our faith, but by our weakness spiritually, then we're limiting the Holy Spirit. Now, he can do anything he wants to do. But I want you to understand the prayer of this. So Paul prays in Ephesians 3, and this is the answer. He says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this is the cause. We're supposed to be a demonstration of God's wisdom to principalities and powers. This is a great cause. This is bigger than any of us. So for this cause I pray, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Paul's praying that for the church. I know what God wants to do, Paul says. I know what God can do. I know the cause of Jesus Christ in His church, and I'm praying for Christians that they would let God, by the riches of His glory, do something by His Spirit in their inner man that is mighty. Mighty. That their inner man would be built up so that the power of God can operate in them. And so he prays this. And then he prays something that's really, really, in our modern day, strange that he prays this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. How can you know something that passes knowledge? Because you're going to know it by your inner man, not by your head. And that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him. Now unto Him. Now unto Him. Until that happens, there's not going to be really this now unto Him that is able. Though He is able, this power is not able to work through us until we're built up. And so this is a very strange thing in verse 17. He's praying for Christians that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. That's what we say to lost people. Hey, we want you to pray with us. We want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And if you just say this prayer, Jesus will come and He'll live in your heart by faith. And that's the prayer we offer lost people. But wait a minute, this is the prayer that Paul is praying for Christian people. Wow. What a turning of events. Why is Paul praying that for Christians when modern Christianity is praying that for the lost people? Because Paul understands, and certainly the Holy Spirit understands, that there's a multitude of Christians today who are not experiencing the living Christ who is in their heart. Read it again with me. Read it again, please. This is his prayer. That God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so Paul's praying for the church. I want you to know the love of God. I want you to know the living Jesus who lives inside of your hearts by faith. I want you to know Him. I want you to experience Him. I want you to experience the power of the One that has all power. I want you to experience the One who is absolutely holy, absolute love, absolute righteousness, absolute perfection. I want you to experience Him. I want you to know Him. I want you to be able to comprehend a love that your intellect cannot comprehend. I want you to be able to have the capacity to know things in your spirit that your brain will never wrap itself around. I want you to be familiar with the life of Jesus Christ who is in you, the familiarity of His movings, the familiarity of His power, a power that is greater than anything else on earth. I want you to come to a place in your life where you have the capacity to allow this power to work in you. You need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in your inner man. And what he means by this, that Jesus may dwell in your heart by faith, is answered in chapter 4, verse 18, or in verse 17 and 18. He just says this, I don't want you to live like the Gentiles live in the vanity of their mind. Christians, stop living in your mind. And I'm not saying you check your brains out at the door. All right? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the capacity of knowing God and loving God and understanding God is a spiritual revelation. And a spiritual capacity. It says this, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He says, you don't live like that. And what this is, alienated from the life of Jesus, means you're a non-participant of His life. You are not familiar with Jesus. And so what Paul is saying to us in chapter 3 is this: I want you to be familiar with the Lord inside of you. I'm praying that God would strengthen you by the riches of His glory through the Holy Spirit with might, that your inner man might be strengthened. And the more your inner man becomes strengthened, the more powerful you become in your inner man, the more God's grace is at work in you, enlarging you, the more the Spirit of God is moving in you, and you're experiencing Jesus in His life, and you're becoming more and more familiar with Him, He is going to astound you. And He is going to begin to do things through your life that go way beyond what you even asked Him for. Because that power is going to work through you. And beloved, I say to you tonight, there is a world and a nation on the eve of judgment that needs the power of God to be loosed upon this earth. People who can go before God, not in the might of their intellect, not be able to take a scripture and quote it and say, God, isn't this your will? But to go in the energy and the power of the living Christ, that my inner man is so strong, I can feel the dynamo of His power inside of me, literally praying, and things are being accomplished that I didn't even ask for, because God the Holy Ghost is interceding through me. And if we don't have that spiritual capacity, how limited do we become? Do you see it? Do you understand it? Do you get it? So how do you build this inner man up? God does it. God does it. But you have to believe that He does it. You have to believe that it is so. If you don't believe that this could be your condition and what God wants to do in your life, then you're not going to believe for God to do it. You're going to go about with your life. And our children are being taken into atheism. And we have a society that doesn't know what a man is or a woman is anymore. And we have people that are absolutely confused and injustice everywhere. And where is the power of God to bring healing into this generation? Where is the power of God to bring answers that people are asking that you and I do not know how to answer? But God can go far beyond what we were able to ask or think. You see, you got to be able to be honest with God. You got to be able to be honest with God and sit here tonight and be able to say, you know what? There's a capacity of knowing Jesus that I need the Holy Spirit to help me with. I don't know the last time I fell at His feet in just absolute amazement of who He is. Stunned in wonder and awe of His beauty and His holiness. I can't remember the last time that I really went before God, and as I began to pray, somebody took over and began to pray through me with a power that I've never experienced before in my life. And I know that was the power of God. And do you know that what I was praying for, God actually did, and He went way beyond it. And I'm so excited about God. And I'm going to tell you, that's how you freshen up a congregation of people. God begins to move. The Spirit of God does this. God does it. You can't go lift weights and become strong. It's not through education that you become stronger and capable. It's not by learning Greek and Hebrew that you become stronger and more capable. It's the work of the Spirit of God. To people that believe, this is what God wants to do in my life, and I want that. I'll give you a few things to believe for God to do in your life, because I don't want you to just be aimlessly out there wandering about. Paul said to Timothy, his son in the faith, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. I know I've said this to you. I'll say it very quickly. Paul is not telling Timothy to pray more. He's not telling Timothy to read more. He's not telling Timothy to fast more. He's not telling Timothy to be more devout, to be more holy, to be more religious. He's not telling Timothy something about the way that he dresses or the way that he looks or the way that he approaches people. Because that's training people to be a Pharisee. But to train Timothy to be godly, Paul is telling Timothy, you've got to train, you've got to practice spiritually to discern the moving of the Holy Spirit in here. If Jesus indeed lives in your hearts by faith, you've got to learn to communicate with Him on a spiritual basis. Practice that godliness. Practice being led by the Spirit. Practice understanding the unction of the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, I don't know if I hear God or not. Every one of you hear God. Even if you're lost, you hear God. The moment you pick up sin, you're hearing something from God telling you no. Everybody hears God. Don't say you don't hear God. And the more you practice learning that voice spiritually, the more you're going to discern His voice. Hebrews chapter 5, and I don't have the time to read all of this, so just let me quote it to you, but you can read it. And I'm just going to paraphrase it, but it says in Hebrews chapter 5, when the time comes that you ought to be teachers, you have need that somebody teach you the first oracles or the principles of God. We keep going back to the elementary things, and that's what we see going on in our churches. Church is so watered down, we can't go on to the deep things of God. We can't talk about these mysteries of God being revealed. We've always got to water it down. It's got to be so elementary. And Paul is saying to those in Hebrews, listen, the time's just got to come. Guys, when you step up and you're a teacher now, you're able to share the things of God and the deep things of God. But instead of being able to do that, you have need that somebody teaches you again the very first things of God, and you have become dull in your senses through a lack of exercise. Exercise your spiritual senses. Just like you have eyes to see, you have a spiritual man that has eyes. And just as you have ears to hear, you have a spiritual man that has ears to hear. Exercise that. Let him live. Let that man live. Exercise the gifts of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Learn to hear the Holy Spirit. Learn to hear Him. When you go into a prayer meeting, when you're tired and you're weary and you don't want to go to a prayer meeting, but you're going anyway, learn to commune with the Holy Spirit, because I can guarantee you He's probably inspiring you and comforting you for doing what He's wanting you to do. Learn to hear that communion with Him. Learn to recognize His presence when He comes. You don't need a preacher to tell you, oh, God's here now. We're in the presence of God. You don't need a preacher to tell you that. When God comes, you know it. You know it. The other thing I would do is I would read this to you in 1 Corinthians. If you just turn there, and I'm going to stop here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to say this to you. And I don't want to magnify tongues. I just want to magnify the things of the Spirit. But tongues is such a manifestation. And so I say this to you tonight about strengthening the inner man. We have a direct word. And one way we can do that. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. He's speaking to God. Verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies, which means to build up, promote growth in Christ, and to repair. He that speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself. Promotes himself in Christ. So that's why you should speak in tongues. Need I say more? If it is imperative for your inner man to be strengthened, so that the Holy Spirit can really work with His power inside of you, so that prayers can be prayed and God can go far beyond what you're even asking. And one of the things right here in the clarity of Scripture that tells me one way I can literally build up my inner man is by praying in tongues, then I'm going to pray in tongues. And I do. I do it all the time. I do it all the time with faith. I do it all the time that I'm talking to God when I'm praying in tongues. I'm talking to God. I'm speaking mysteries. And I'm talking to God. And you know what? Even when I don't know what I'm saying, you know, I believe that what's happening inside of me is I'm being built up. I'm being repaired. I'm growing in Christ. I'm promoting growth in myself in the Lord. I believe the Bible tells me that I am. Aren't you Bible believers? Don't y'all believe the Bible? So if you believe the Bible, then I would exhort you, if you are serious about understanding the times in which we live and being useful and beneficial to the kingdom of God, you cannot do this apart from the Spirit of God. And there has to be a power of God demonstrated in our earth today that men have not seen, and therefore they have mocked God for decades. And I believe it is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to align itself with the Lord, welcome the Holy Spirit to come as an individual matter, and begin to pray, "Oh God, I want you to strengthen me by the glory of your grace and your provisions by the Spirit with might in my inner man. I want to be strong inside of here, God. I want you to grow me. I want a greater capacity. I want to know the love of Christ that you tell me I can know. I want to know Christ dwelling in my heart by faith that it's possible for Christians to not experience. God, I don't want to live and die like that. I want you to give me this power. Oh God, anoint me. Oh God, work in my life." And then begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to discern the Holy Ghost. And begin to exercise your senses. Your spiritual senses. Your compassion and mercy. And righteousness and holiness. And the beauty of God. And the hand of God. You begin to look for His hand. Anybody can see what's wrong. Anybody can see what's messed up. But what's good? Where's God working? I want to focus on that. That's just developing your spiritual senses. The little bit, the little bit. Oh, I see the hand of God like a cloud over the sea. Oh, God, thank you for the little bit. Because now the lot is coming. Oh, God, thank you for the little miracle. Oh, God, thank you for the little thing that you did over here. Because I can see the little thing, I'll see the big thing. But if I don't appreciate the little thing, I'm not going to appreciate the big thing. I'm developing my senses to see God. I'm developing my senses to hear God. A lot of prophets speaking on YouTube. A lot of people saying this and a lot of people saying that. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to develop my senses. I'm going to hear God through His Word, by His Spirit. I want to hear what God is saying. I want to develop my spiritual senses to hear the Holy Ghost. Not just every voice that's out there. And I've learned to commune with God, and Jesus becomes more and more real inside of my heart, and His love becomes more and more powerful in me. And all the Holy Spirit begins to pray with such power inside of you. And truly, when those prayers are prayed, all glory is to Him. All is to Him. I want you to stand with me. And what I would like to invite you to is just a serious opportunity to come before the Lord and ask God, open up Ephesians 3. Just open it up, guys. Bring it to the altar tonight. Open up Ephesians 3, bring it to the altar tonight, and begin to pray it. What's the harm in that, right? What's the harm in that? Begin to pray, God, do this in me. I want this relationship with you. You know where you are. You know how you experience Jesus. Is He real or not? You can literally be saved and go into heaven and not experience the love of Christ. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? So don't let that be you. You have an opportunity tonight to take hold of God. I want to encourage you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in your tongues tonight. Pray in your tongues. Don't be ashamed. Don't be bashful. You're in the house of God. You're with family tonight. Pray in the Spirit. Exercise the gifts of the Spirit. Listen for the Lord. Even tonight, just get before God and say, God, what are you talking to me about? What are you saying to me? What is it that you want me to know, God? And Father, we just offer this time up to you of worship tonight. Father, we're coming before you with your word. And we're asking you, Father, through the riches of your glory, that you would strengthen us with might by your Spirit in our inner man. That new life in Christ. That, Lord, we might be fully aware and familiar and cooperative with the life of Jesus Christ that's in our hearts. That we would not live like the Gentiles in the vanity of our minds. But Lord, we would live by the Spirit of God. In fellowship with you, in communion with you. And Lord, truly through your church, you would be able to demonstrate your power. That God, you can do more than we can think. You can do more than we can ask. We know that. We know you can. But Father, it is time to know that power in us so that you can. I pray, Father, that your church would be strong. It would not hinder you. It would not quench you through a limited power, a limited ability. But I pray tonight, God, that you would allow us to grow in the capacity of knowing Jesus. Let us grow in that capacity. Let us be enlarged in our hearts and in our minds. Let our spirits be made strong.